Hey guys, I'm Justin Lowry, and this is Develop and Process. This is a show where we ask the bigger questions about photography and living the creative life. So, for the first show, I want to talk about... I basically want to introduce you guys to me and share my story with you, because... nothing else that I have to say is relevant if you don't kind of know where I'm coming from. So I'd like to kind of start with that. So basically, I've been a photographer for 13 years now. And I got started back in 2005. I went to Washington, D.C. on a history trip. I was a secondary ed major in college studying education, and my fields were science and history. So one of my history professors took us on a road trip to explore everything in the whole Washington, D.C. area. We also went to Philadelphia. We visited Independence Hall. We visited Gettysburg. We visited Antietam. We went to the Capitol, the White House, the Washington Monument, the Lincoln Memorial, the Korean War Memorial, World War II Memorial. We took a staff guided tour of the White House. We went to the Confederate Capitol in Virginia. We went to the church where Patrick Henry gave his Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death speech. Mount Vernon, George Washington's home, and we toured all that whole property. We went to Monticello. We went to James Madison's house. We went to Thomas Jefferson's house. And we toured those properties. And it was just really a really interesting experience. And we stood on Gettysburg, where the soldiers were getting fired at during the Civil War. And it was just such an incredible experience. We also went to Jamestown and Williamsburg, which are these towns where they do historical reenactment, like, full time. You can go there and you can walk on the boats that sailed to Jamestown, where some of the first settlers came in the 1600s. And in Williamsburg, it's a huge colony town that's completely, like, from the 1700s. But you can go there today and spend time there as though you're in the 1700s. So we experienced all this. And at the time, I had a Casio 4-megapixel point-and-shoot camera. And so it had terrible low-light performance, no manual controls. It was just really a total mess. And so I didn't know anything about photography, nothing. And I used that camera to try and capture my memories, because I have really... kind of bad spatial memory. I have a really good memory for facts and information, but not very good for spatial memory and places. But places have always meant a lot to me. So I really wanted to capture this, and I just totally failed. I mean, the images were just awful. So I went home, told my family about it that summer on summer break from college, and my dad pulled out his Nikon FE. So this is the Nikon FE that was my dad's. And he basically gave me this camera, and he told me the basics of aperture, shutter speed, film speed, and all of that, the exposure triangle, and just let me play with the camera. And I ended up spending $400 on film that summer. Shooting film and was pretty expensive, so at the time I didn't really have the funds for that. So I literally figured it would be smarter to buy a Nikon digital camera. So I bought a D70 and switched to digital. People started seeing my photos, and I was sharing them on Flickr and stuff like that. And everybody that saw them was reacting to them. And so they started asking me to shoot weddings and, portraits for people, or, just different photo shoots that needed done. And I also second shot for some wedding photographers. And if you're not careful, if you are getting into photography, you kind of get sucked into the wedding industry almost by accident, because there's so much money there and there's so much demand, and you can just get sucked into it real quick. So that happened to me. I started second shooting for other photographers and started freelancing, doing weddings and portraits and engagements and all that kind of stuff. Commercial work. I shot food for restaurants. And I was trying to get better at photography, and I knew I needed to learn a lot more. So there was this one wedding photographer who was really successful, and I, at the time, sort of looked up to him. And so at the time I was asking him if I could assist for him. So I was just carrying his camera gear and switching lenses and memory cards for him. And he was just kind of showing me the ropes. And then eventually he asked me, like several months later, to second shoot a wedding for him. And this was the first time I was actually shooting with him, like on a professional level. But I was really inexperienced and kind of naive at the time. So like I didn't really understand the legalities of like contracts and you know, setting expectations and all that, managing relationships and business and all that at the time. So I just agreed to do it because I trusted the guy, you know. But basically, I ended up working sun up to sundown, you know, and then staying until almost midnight. And it was like this horrible, horrible wedding. I mean, it was just total chaos and mayhem, and it was really obnoxious, and I had a pounding migraine the whole day. And some of the time I was so sick, I had to like go in the bathroom and just sit on the toilet with my head in my hands for like 10 minutes just to kind of be able to stand up and walk again without throwing up. I mean, it was pretty bad. And then he made me ride on the party bus and all that kind of stuff while feeling like that. So anyways, I was there for maybe 12 to 14 hours all told, and shooting like nonstop. And anyway, then I, you know, edited the files and did my deliverables and all that, finished everything on time. And I gave him the stuff, and, you know, I expect to get paid, you know. And 4 or 5 weeks went by, and he just kind of kept making excuses and kind of blowing me off and stuff. And then finally, like about 5 or 6 weeks later, it was quite a while after, may have been longer, I get this text from him, and he's like, yeah, meet me out front of the college where you go. And so I go out there, and he drives up, rolls the window down, chucks a $50 bill out the window, and drives off. And I'd put in like 14 hours of skilled labor at that point, and plus given him all my files, my raws, everything, all the work I had done. And I had gone through like the most hellish wedding to do that. And just to see like how little he respected me as a photographer, as an artist, as a professional, but also just in general as a human being. And it probably doesn't sound like a huge deal, but I really thought about this for months. And you know, I spent a lot of time doing some introspection and just thinking and praying about it. And essentially, I guess I felt like I needed to become something and someone better than what I was seeing around me in the creative industry. And, you know, I guess it was just a series of bad experiences and whatnot, but because that wasn't just one of them, it was one of many different things that happened that were similar in those sort of years and months. And I decided to make a decision to never make a major life choice based on money, or with money as the principal deciding factor, especially in issues that affect people and people's lives. And because I realized that the core issue of what had bothered me so much was that we should be using money to make people rather than using people to make money. And that's really what it's all about. Money is an expendable commodity that exists to serve a purpose. It's not the end all be all. And whenever it becomes the biggest thing in our lives, it tends to destroy everything around us. It was just a question of priorities. So I stayed in the wedding industry for about 5 years after that happened. And in retrospect, it was probably a mistake, because I really don't think I was cut out for it. I was flying all over the country, shooting weddings, events, engagements, commercial gigs, you know, all over the United States. And over the course of those 5 years, I shot between 1 and 2 million images. And I worked for an incredible list of clients. And, you know, in many ways, it was incredibly rewarding. I got to see so many things that I would have never seen if I hadn't been a photographer. and I'm grateful for those experiences. But towards the end of the 5 years, it was really diving into the worst part of the recession as well, which I think played into it. I had a string of kind of nightmare clients, and basically in one summer had 4 or 5 clients not pay their bills. They still wanted the work, of course, but they didn't want to pay their bills. And I lost $11,500 in one summer. And the worst of it hit the week before I was supposed to fly to California from New York for my own wedding and take my wife on a honeymoon. And it stung so bad to have, you know, clients that I trusted just completely, you know, rip me off like that. I had to sell off all of my photography gear to physically make ends meet and, you know, get married and provide for my wife. And fortunately, I had graphic design and web design that I was also doing. And I was having better results with that as far as the clients were concerned in certain respects. And so I ended up going completely out of photography. I just dropped photography entirely and sold all my gear. And the reason I was okay with that in the moment, other than just the forced necessity of it, was that I felt like the photography industry had destroyed photography for me. It had sucked all the joy out of something I had absolutely loved and been incredibly passionate about. And I no longer enjoyed it whatsoever. It was just something I dreaded. And so I quit photography entirely and walked away from it. So 2 years went by. My wife and I lived in California, and things started to pick up. I got new clients. I did better. The economy was a lot healthier in California than it was where we lived. We didn't live in the city. We lived in upstate. And so things, yeah, took off. And I really felt like I needed photography in my life. I needed to be creative in my own personal life. I needed to be expressive and creating personal work. And I hadn't been doing that. I'd just been doing client work. So I decided to get into photography again. And believe it or not, the thing that got me into photography in the first place, when I was in New York, before I got all those clients, was nature photography. I grew up in the woodlands of the American Northeast, and I spent all my time in the woods, and I absolutely love nature. I got to know it super well, and so that's what I'm passionate about. And so I decided to get back into photography for the sole purpose of making fine art landscape images. And I bought a new set of gear focused entirely on that. At the time it was a Canon 6D, and I was one of the first photographers to be shooting with it. It just came out. And I started producing work again. And of course I had the photography experience, so I started publishing new work with all this inspiration I had. And it took off immediately. Within the first 6 months or a year, the senior editor of Popular Photography Magazine contacted me and wanted to do an interview with me. And then they ran a story on me, and then that story ended up getting syndicated by Popular Science, Popular Photography, American Photo. Canon licensed it as well for an ad campaign. So I got a nice royalty check from Canon promoting the 6D. So it really took off, and I just kept, you know, cranking out new work and establishing social media presences and everything. And before you know it, I got sucked into the culture of Instagram and, you know, the social media scene online. And the demand there was for these ultra saturated, ultra contrasty scenes in epic light of famous locations of, you know, widely repeated established compositions that were essentially knockoffs of work done by, you know, quote unquote famous landscape photographers. And just really getting into focus stacking, exposure blending, Photoshop actions, you know, warping, cloning, you know, HDR techniques and all of that crazy stuff. And, you know, basically making a scene out of a pile of images rather than like preserving what you actually saw in nature. And that was the demand, and it really took off. So started doing that and diving into it, and I learned all the techniques and started producing work that was very, you know, impactful and saturated and contrasty and epic. But ultimately it left me feeling kind of hollow and empty, like I was just not being true to myself, and that I was creating work for the demand that I thought was on social media rather than on what I felt was true to my creative vision. And I felt increasingly dissatisfied with the work I was making. So, but around that time, I started seeing a lot of work by Ben Horn and Alan Brock and some of these large format landscape photographers that are younger guys walking away from digital to shoot large format and film. And that really appealed to me. I also really care about quality and precision. I'm kind of a perfectionist. And so the incredible control and incredible quality that you get with large format really appealed to me. And so, but at the time, I was literally telling stories on my hikes of these guys to my friends and saying, like, these guys are incredible. You know, you should check them out on YouTube. And the stuff they're doing is just mind blowing. And it's just, but it seems so unattainable, so unreachable. It seems impossible. You know, this crazy dude, he goes out in the woods and backpacks by himself alone in Utah for like a week carrying, you know, this huge backpack with a giant wooden camera in it. It just seems like something I aspire to, but I don't know if I could ever do that. And so some time went by, and Intrepid Camera did their Kickstarter, and then I missed the original Kickstarter but was one of the first orders, and I jumped on that. After 12 weeks, I got my camera and I started shooting with it, and I went on a photography trip to shoot the fall colors in the Eastern Sierra in California, the mountains. And it went super well, and I shot a whole bunch of work, and I was really happy with it. And it was my first, you know, successful body of large format work. And also earlier that year, I'd shot medium format and worked my way up and learned, you know, film stocks and film exposure and all that kind of scanning and all that stuff. So I was able to kind of get a running start. When I got the Intrepid, I was super happy with it, and I loved working with such a lightweight, simple camera. And the company actually saw my images, and you know, we started kind of working together, and I started writing articles for them and trip reports and stuff like that. And eventually they sent me their new second gen camera to use, and that was just a huge improvement over the first gen. So I started shooting with that, and then I created a huge amount of work, hundreds of images with that. And then when it came time to develop the 8x10, they reached out to me and asked if I'd be interested in helping them develop the prototype. I dove into it, helped them out with the prototype, did a lot of field testing, and I really put that thing through the ringer. It got blown over by the wind in the Sierras, and you know, took a face plant, and it survived. And you know, we found some, you know, various quirks with the camera, which were worked out in the final model. Now I'm currently shooting with the new Intrepid 8x10, and I've been exclusively shooting large format for about 2 years now, a little over 2 years, and I've been incredibly happy with it, and it's really done wonders for my work. It's made every shot count. The sheer cost and time required to shoot these images and operate these cameras really forces discipline, which has been incredibly good for my creative process and has improved the quality of my work. So. Continue to work with them and to continue, you know, improving and getting better at large format. And I want to share that journey with you all. And until next time, stay curious.